Gary. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, or good afternoon, I guess the case may be. It's morning somewhere in the world. We're going to go ahead and start a subcommittee of the Ways and Means Joint Committee on Public Safety. Representative Patridge is en route, and I understand Senator Devlin has been contacted. So we'll just work under an informal arrangement of subcommittee to subcommittee. The Legislative Fiscal Office is represented by Doug Wilson. Christine Chester is our Legislative Fiscal Clerk today. And we'll go ahead and start by having a public hearing on House Bill 5049. Let's go ahead and get information, if we could, from you, Doug, as to the DPSST.
Mr. Chair, and to start off, we have a very full agenda today. It is hopeful that our intent is to get the four budgets out that you have in front of you. Today is the last day to buy them. If we do get them out of subcommittee, it makes a continuing resolution implementation easier, I'm told.
Okay.
So the order we're going in here, starting off DPSST, Diane Middles at the table, as well as Bill McGee from BAM. You have work sessioned a portion of this budget already. The memo that is in front of you corresponds to those items that are either new or have not been addressed by the previous work session in most cases, and I left a few in there to talk about. The first program is a criminal justice training and certification program. Boy, I hope I don't have trouble talking all day here. Major issues are restoring a portion of the funding locked during the budget building process because of falling criminal fines and assessment funding, and then the construction of the new training facility and reductions in regional leadership training. On page 2, I'll go through these policy packages. You had not taken action on all of them, and so those are listed here. 108 was the major package that restored 12 of the 26 positions originally cut from this program in package or during the building budget package because of CFA revenues. This position or this package restores 12 of those positions. The subcommittee, unfortunately, it's one of the members that wasn't here, had wanted to approve this package in part to find out what the impact of not filling all these positions. I think the agency's responded to that, and it is our recommendation to go ahead and fund these positions.
And Brevy, the response is?
Diane, I don't know if you want to take a lead.
Basically, the cuts at this point are so deep that if we cut more than what we have now, we'll be going into cutting back on basic training. This takes us even down to the point, basically everything that was put in the last biennia and a half is gone. So we're back down to where we were at 97-99 in the short. So we would be... In terms of the eight positions in regional, the fact that now basically one of those is cut, if you cut deeper into that, I know Representative Butler, you're very familiar with the services that regional provides. We would no longer be able to do even the programs that we're doing in Eastern Oregon and other places, which is what that was designed to help us with. The Academy Training Director was a position that we put in place as a result of the investigation the agency was in for lack of oversight over all of our agency part-time trainers, so it's absolutely a key position. In a nutshell, this would be breaking bones on top of the bleeding already is what it would amount to.
I just wanted to confirm, when we're restoring 12 positions, 8 of them are the regional training, 1 director of training at the Academy, 1 support and 1 leadership. Does that come up to 12?
And Representative Butler, it should.
Actually, it doesn't, so I'm missing one.
Maybe you could help me with that. I'm not very good with math, so I need somebody to help me out with that.
Is it the fire position, maybe, that's in another area, or is that...
It might be.
8. Oh, okay. It's the IS position.
The information system.
Okay, so plus 1 IS.
Representative Butler, the other thing I would add is that the leadership position is removed later as a recommendation of LFO, and that is an area that we've had a lot of discussion on. It shows up in LFO's recommendation 008. Already taken out of this is all the executive training. This now goes into the supervision and middle management programs, which means as we go through retirements, of which we're doing many, and people are moving up into supervision and middle management, that mandatory training will no longer be available to them. What's of concern to us, and I think to many individuals, is that we are moving younger and younger people with less and less experience into those positions, and now we're going to do it without any training as well. So raises some real concerns. I know that we're in a really difficult time to find funding. One of the things we have suggested is if you could look as you move through the rest of the budgets if there's a savings someplace else, because there's no place else I can cut to put that back in. But even if we got the one position and some SNS, even to restore $200,000, I could make a program that would limp along and at least take us out of that risky of a position. So if you park that someplace, I would really appreciate that. But anyway, that's kind of where that is. I hope that answers your question.
Doug, your preamble was that in a time with continuing declining CFAA, we're going to go ahead and restore 12 of the 26 positions. I assume that the even though there is a decline in the CFAA, that you're anticipating at 2.7 million or 2.7 less the LFO 008 336,000, so you can anticipate about $2.3 million.
Mr. Chair, there is sufficient CFAA revenue for this package, and a little later on when we get to 008 or whatever, we'll talk about where we are with CFAA overall.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any further questions of the agency? 107?
107 created two positions. One was a limited duration for traffic safety coordination that was funded through an ODOT grant. The second was dealing with creating a position for background investigations. DPSSD had used temporary employees for this, but wanted to fill this out since the use of temporary employees is a little more restrictive now. The subcommittee had wanted the agency to look at OSP to see if they could do the checks for DPSSD. DPSSD checked both with the state police and corrections and found that they do things a little differently, and they would have had to charge for services to DPSSD anyway, so the savings was either non-existent or very small savings.
Relative to the $104,000 of other funds from ODOT for the traffic safety coordinator position, what of the second permanent position? Because $104,000 won't take care of two FTE for this entire biennium.
Mr. Chair, the second, the part-time background investigation, they had been using funding in the temporary employees for that, and they're replacing the use of those funds with a permanent position.
So, okay, so that's already taken into account.
The 104 relates to the traffic safety.
Only with traffic safety from the order.
Yep.
Questions? I know that Senator George handles that ODOT. Are you prepared to go ahead and make that concession, Senator George, to move that money over?
We refuse to move any money anywhere, so I'm sure this is safe.
Yeah, 107 is an easy package then. Okay, continuing on.
106 was Delta revenues for 911 emergency medical dispatch and other telecommunications. This is funding that comes from Office of Emergency Management, much of it, and they provides additional funding for that program from the 911 revenues, and that is all estimated into the 911 discussion that will be later on today when we get to the state police.
Okay, LFO 007 and 008.
Mr. Chair,
with CFAA.
Yeah, and this 007, I only put, you had already voted on this. I put this on the board or on this sheet just to make sure you understand that they may not or probably will not meet that whole $189,000 because they will not be able to vacate the property as quickly as that originally thought, and that may have to be dealt with internally at some point in time or coming back to the e-board to deal with. 008, you had, we had discussed this already, the subcommittee had. What this does is the governor's budget estimated a certain level of CFA revenues. The March and May forecasts saw continued downtrends in that. And 008 reflects what the forecast is after the May forecast. Now the overall public safety agreement includes another $5 million for backfilling in CFAA, but at this time the co-chairs and the subcommittee chair hadn't come to a final decision on this, so what we will do is continue to go along with the May forecast numbers, which 008 reflects, and when that $5 million is allocated by the co-chairs and other discussions with other members, that $5 million will be distributed in another bill. So there's still $5 million in CFA revenue coming for consideration in this program, some of the Department of Justice programs, and in other areas.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator George.
That's probably the $5 million that I was supposed to glean out.
I guess we are looking then at $5 million that may be utilized if, in fact, the one leadership training position is being pulled out here. Is there a possibility that could be restored?
That is a possibility,
a high priority,
but that are discussions you'd probably best to have with the subcommittee chair and the co-chairs.
And that does these reductions correspond to the subcommittee's priority list and ranking. So if there are additional funds, it could be restored to that. The CFAA for that leadership position, leadership training, may be restored. 009?
Chris, can you try Devlin's office again?
009 is recognition that the training facility, will continue on a schedule that is close to what was originally thought. This is other fund revenues that would continue paying the debt service and issuance costs. This anticipates three COP sales during the 2003-2005 biennium, one in June of 2004, October 2004, and June of 2005. They have already issued one in the past few months in the spring of 2003. The $2.455 million you see here represents the future costs that would come, both in issuance and debt service. These numbers were verified a couple times with DAS to make sure they were right, and that there is no general fund and or the use of any other funding, because the COPs, the proceeds from the issuance of the COPs are capitalized in such a way to pay for the interest and debt service costs during 2003-2005. There will be roll-up costs that will have to take place in 2005-2007.
So it's anticipated that in addition to the COP issuance costs, all of the payments for the current biennium of, I guess this would be probably interest only, or does it represent principal as well?
Dave, this is only interest.
Okay. Would also then be borrowed against the COPs and paid?
That is right. It's much the same situation as you saw last week in the Department of Corrections.
Thank you very much. Are there questions on any of the budget notes for Legislative Fiscal or Mr. McGee from BAM while he's here? Let's go ahead into the budget note, the recommended language for the budget note, and then the budget note on top of page 4.
Mr. Chair, there was a desire by some, and these have not been approved by the co-chairs yet, but they have been looked at, but the agreement hadn't had a chance to deliberate on them, but I've made them part of these recommendations. The first budget note deals sort of with two subject areas, the first being let's have them come back and report on how the progress is going in the new facility, and second of all, have them take a look at making sure that we're keeping track of when the new facility opens, what the costs and the staff and resource needs are to get to that 16-week training. They're presently at roughly 10 weeks, which is roughly less than half what the national sort of average is for the basic police training.
Is that all anticipated to be reported on in the May or the March 1st of 2004 emergency board?
It would be the first e-board meeting after the March 1st.
Okay. And the report would be inclusive of all of those items at that time. Diane, is that acceptable? Do you feel like that you can meet that time requirement?
Representative Butler, I know we'll be able to make reports. Now, where we are in the bid process and those kind of things as to how concrete they are is another story, but I'd certainly be willing to let you know where the process is and as we zero in on actual dollars with bids and those kinds of things.
Heard the recommendation. Doug?
Mr. Chair, the March 1st date was there for another reason, which has now been pulled off the recommendation. I would suggest if there's concern by the agency about meeting the deadline, that could be easily pushed out, let's say, to the fall.
What's the better date? So
fall would be good.
Okay.
So what's the meeting after September? June? Is that what that would be?
I would put the first meeting after September.
Okay, first meeting after September 1st, 2004.
Yeah, and that could maybe even be in September, or it would likely be in November. Of course, the e-board schedule has not been published
okay.
or set yet.
Any discussion or objections around extending that for that budget note top of page 4? That's acceptable, then, Diane, that you think at that point. All right.
Yes, sir.
Continue on. Fire training certification program.
Mr. Chair, Member Subcommittee, you took most of the actions on this. The only package that was left was package 201, and the subcommittee did not vote on this because they were waiting for what was happening to House Bill 3051, which was the major replacement revenue from a falling fire insurance premium tax. This the bill has passed both the House and Senate floors. It took a couple times on the Senate floor to get it out, but it is out and should be soon on its way to the governor, I believe, for a signature. So I think it's safe to go ahead with this this package at that time.
I think it passed on the House floor 54-0, passed on the or failed on the Senate floor by one vote, 17, and then was reconsidered and passed by 25. Now, that's my kind of reconsideration, Senator George.
Mr. Chair, as I understand, there were some miscommunications.
Okay.
Once there had been some education,
once
they
get it wired,
miscommunications—the only lobbyist that we're talking about.
Okay. Further questions on LFO package 2000 or policy option package 2001 for fire training and certification. Please continue on.
Mr. Chair, private security program, you have completed all the action that's required there already, so there's nothing there. In public safety memorial fund, this was a high degree of angst about this program. The governor's budget had only included expenditure limitation of $143,000 with no new allocation of funding. The public safety agreement adds another $400,000 of funding for this. Let me just note that the agreement calls for general fund for a lot of this, but it is our intent, and we've talked to the co-chairs about this, to come back and reset the split between general fund and CFAA when that bill rolls forward. So these are being put in here as other funds, but it will have no net effect difference on the general fund at the end of session.
I notice that that's still an increase in the plan and the program. Certainly over the 2001-2003 of 517, but it's an easy doubling of the program from 9901.
Mr. Chair, keep in mind how this program works, and there has been a bill passed already this session to change the administration of the program, but it is an ongoing commitment. If someone is injured, starts accessing the program, there's an ongoing commitment for a number of years, so as more people are added to the program, it's just going to increase those expenditures more.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair,
fiscal recommendation 401.
On page 6 is a subcommittee. You had already taken action on performance measures. There was no action yet taken on the other funds, according to my records. And quickly, I'll go through these. These are generally operational reserves for the various programs or program areas. The first one is for the law enforcement or criminal justice program, and the amount there represents a roughly 2 months of operating costs. So there, our LFO recommendation is no change there. Fire training, it represents about 2 months of operating. Again, the LFO recommendation is no change to that. Private security, there was a fee increase in this bill. or assumed in this budget, and there was quite a bit of discussion about that. It does increase the operating cost reserve about 5 months, but there had been high support for this fee increase by the industry, mainly because it would mean that we wouldn't the state would not have to raise fees for a few biennia if they kept it high. So that's a reason to keep the ending balance higher, so you don't need to do a fee increase in the near future. And the Public Safety Memorial Fund, it shows an ending balance of zero here. It all depends on the demand for the program, and this is a very hard program to predict as it stands now. The increased management ability you gave through the other bill that's passed through the legislature will help the agency manage the finances of this program better.
Doug, I'd just like to ask, relative to the top of page 6, the performance measures, if the anticipated cuts in our criminal justice training and certification program, if that LFO 008, that particular cut will affect any of the performance measures. Not having the performance measures in front of me, I guess I'm just concerned about the issues related to the leadership training.
Mr. Chair, just to make a review on the performance measures, the agency has two performance measures, and I would believe that one of them that one would affect the first one, which is level of officer performance as determined by their agency after successful completion of basic training. So if you take away training resources, it may have an effect on that particular performance measure. The other performance measure was constituent satisfaction with access and availability of records. That probably won't have as much of an effect.
I just am concerned that performance measures that have been previously approved may be somewhat affected if we accept the LFO 008 recommendation. And also recognize that there are certain constraints budgetarily need to be met there. And then you're recommending an amendment to House Bill 5049?
Right. If you do pass the recommendations, this is the way that the bill would read. And I've hand engrossed it because it's usually the easiest way to show it.
Thank you very much. Are there other questions of Legislative Fiscal Office relative to House Bill 5049?
Well,
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not a question. It's more of a comment. On the Public Safety Memorial Fund, there's no question that I support the goals of it and support the obligation that we've made to the families of public safety officers. There's an incredible downside risk to the state of Oregon for this type of funding for the program. We saw the one incident in Coos Bay that involved 11 dependents of 3 firefighters that has a huge effect. Any type of we could have situations of a larger impact than that, a plane crash, a fire disaster. There, we need to be continuing to look for some way that we can do either after insurance or some way to spread the risk out on a broader basis. But I think we've made some real positive changes during this legislative session. I think it's something we need to monitor and continue to improve to keep the downside risk or develop some other funding for it that can build some reserves or something.
It's my understanding, Representative, that this is in addition to all other insurances which may be available to the families, but certainly addresses some of the other issues as well.
And I think it fulfills a very necessary niche. Especially, I'm real concerned about the insurance coverage and stuff that's available for volunteer firemen. Maybe some of our paid employees are more apt to be covered by other forms of insurance. But
life insurance.
But this still provides a valuable niche. I'm not critical of the job it does, but we just have to to look for a more stable source of funding, or since it's a form of insurance, a way to put major risk, maybe for major incidents, buy some protection for the state on that.
To have some sort of co-insurance at that particular point, perhaps. That's an excellent suggestion. Senator George?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is probably a question for Dan or Doug. Is there any obligation or liability beyond the fact there's a certain amount of money available with a certain number, well, unknown number of potential applicants? Does it go beyond available money?
Representative Butler, Senator George, right now the way the statute reads, there are provisions that are shall pay, but it is subject to the availability of the fund. So there is kind of a cap there. And I would assume if we had a major catastrophe that we'd probably be back to the E-Board, you know, discussing how we would want to handle that.
Representative Hansen?
Well, and that's another structural problem, because I think we made a moral commitment to those families. If the situation, it's pretty hard to tell people that, yeah, you've got this type of an insurance, and it's not official insurance, but this type of a benefit, depending upon whether there's any money in the fund.
It must be some statutory provision there. Is the amount statutory?
Well, we've changed that.
Deputy Director of EPS. The bill number is 2238, and just real briefly to summarize what that did was it changed the health and dental insurance from a shall to a may, so it allows the Memorial Fund Board to take into consideration monies that the families might have already gotten through a multitude of other programs or through their own insurance, that type of thing, so they can prorate that out, maybe not give as much as they normally would have. The current federal program is $267,000 cash in a one-time lump sum payment, in addition to other benefits such as educational benefits. So the changes in those bills really does give the board more latitude to give the money on an as-needed basis as opposed to just handing it over because the tragedy occurred.
Thank you. Senator George?
Quick follow-up on that. As needed or as available?
Both.
Okay.
Both, Senator.
So funds available, you wouldn't have to come back to the emergency board. If you were a few thousand dollars, you'd just go ahead and adjust the payments as available. Bill?
Yeah, Mr. Bill McGee from DAS. The legislation you saw in another bill that I think you'll see later also is moving us toward better coordination with the federal benefits. There, in addition to the $267,000, which is indexed to inflation at the federal side, there's also a college tuition program the federal government offers as well. So we're trying to do a better job of making sure that we're coordinating those resources, and as much money as available will be available to those folks. And at the same time, allowing us to manage our resources at the state level as best we can.
Maybe in a minute.
Okay. Bill, thank you very much, Bill. If there's no further questions relative to House Bill 5049, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on 5049, and we'll continue in our subcommittee to subcommittee and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5525. For the purpose of receiving recommendations from Legislative Fiscal Office. Senate Bill 5525 is the Department of Justice. We're working from June 26, 2003, Addendum Number 1.
Mr. Chair, we have already heard in work session part of the DOJ budget. There are a number of items that had yet to be dealt with, and those are what's included in this memo, and there were some corrections to be made also. We're starting off with administration. Most of the actions here have been taken, but I need to amend policy package 113 to reflect what's actually happening between the divisions. This is an internal accounting because this division supports all the other divisions, and there's movement of money back and forth, and it depends on the level of funding, and this keeps it updated to that amount. The next package is 007 on the next page, the top of page 2. And one thing that was not included in the budget was expenditure limitation to perform all the moving costs and the build-out costs of the Department of Commerce and the Department of Justice building. The rate calculation that you took action on a number of months ago anticipated this increase, but we had left that out of the budget by mistake. I believe the General Government Subcommittee has already discussed the Commerce Committee, or the Commerce Building and the DOJ improvements, and approved them, and this is making sure that the money's in the budget for DOJ to make all the moves that have to be taken, because the Department of Justice building is going to be done a couple floors at a time, and when you do that, you got people moving back and forth, unfortunately, and that costs money. And also, the capital construction costs do not include all of the build-out costs that are necessary, so this $300,000 increase covers that.
Okay. Are there questions? Welcome Attorney General Meyer with us today. Attorney General Meyer, we appreciate your being here. Any comments that you'd like to make, you're welcome to do so.
Thank you, Chair Butler. None so far.
Thank you very much. Any questions relative to 113 as amended or 007?
Mr. Okay. Chair, moving on to civil enforcement, a few packages here. Actually, you had delayed action on all of these, I believe, every package here. But 115 increases the FTE on a position to provide support to an existing staff. It's self-financed, so there's no cost to it. We do not recommend this position, mainly because after the vacancy savings and other discussions we had at the agency, they no longer want this particular package, because I think we actually took that position in the vacant positions.
Any questions relative to 115? 131?
131 funds three new positions to enforce the master settlement agreement with the tobacco companies. The LFO recommendation is significantly less, mainly because of... The LFO recommendation was cut significantly in discussions with the agency, and it's part of the rate reduction in the AG rate also, because the AG internally uses that rate to bill various parts of the agency. One reason for the delay that you did not take action was that the amendment for the funding mechanism for this was still moving through the legislature. My understanding, it is still in Senate Judiciary. I'm not sure if it passed out of there this morning or not. Okay, it's still being discussed.
Chair Butler, it was scheduled for further action. It's been on about three or four successive meetings, and it was scheduled again this morning. It's part of a larger bill dealing with the issue of the enforcement, and it was postponed until, I don't know if it's tomorrow or Wednesday, but it's on their very active agenda right now.
Okay.
And it's my understanding that this particular clause of that bill isn't creating any issue with members. It's maybe other parts of the bill.
Chair Butler, yes, that's correct.
I do have a concern, and that is that the master settlement agreement is something that the legislature, in its wisdom or lack thereof, continues to examine the potential of borrowing against that. And we do have an ongoing obligation through the Attorney General's office. It's my understanding that the associations of Attorney Generals throughout the United States are participating by continuing to monitor. So we will have an ongoing obligation even when there is not a current resource, because we're using the major portion, that current resource, to fund some of the other settlement, the MSA bonds that we've got. So I think it's important that we recognize that what we've got is that we have used up the asset. You might look at it as a dead horse and continue to have to pay for it. We have an obligation to maintain that litigation and the ongoing coordination of that litigation. So Other questions relative to 131, policy option package 132?
Well, Mr. Chair, on 131, ask staff, what today, what action do we take? Do we need to approve that today pending the move from judiciary? Okay.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest that. I'm sure that we will make sure as staff and as co-chairs and others to make sure this that language shows up somewhere by the end of session.
I'm going to go ahead and move this then to a work session. For the record, we have a full complement of House and Senate members, absent the chair, Chair Patridge, who is still in process of arriving. We're opening then a work session on Senate Bill 5525, Department of Justice. We've received recommendations relative from legislative staff relative to administration policy option package 113, the amendment thereof, and 007. Do I have a motion? Representative Hansen?
So moved.
Representative Hansen moves LFO policy option package amendment to 113 and policy option package 007 for the administration of the Department of Justice. Any dissension? Any hearing anything not so ordered? Civil enforcement, Representative Hansen, 115, 131.
Are we doing 115?
Let's see. Does not recommend. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd move policy package 131.
Okay. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, 131 is ordered. Okay.
Mr. Chair, continuing on page 3, this is still civil enforcement, and what we've done in the past is sort of taken one division at a time and vote on them as a complete package. 132 was a request for two positions and the resources for those positions to address the backlog Consumer Protection Revolving Fund. LFO does not recommend that package at this time because the co-chair's budget took roughly $2 million out of that particular program down in 006, which you'll get to in a minute. So our recommendation is not to approve that package.
Any questions, Senator?
So no action.
No action on 132. Representative Hansen?
Okay. Well, I'll hold my questions until we get done with
okay.
LFO 00.
Continue. 1 through 5 and then 006.
Well, 10 through 05 are the standard adjustments that for merits and inflations and the such.
Settlement funds.
And then we'll go through and approve everything else.
Well, we better find out what they want to try and continue resolution because I thought they were based on part of it.
That's just my last tour, so I don't know.
Well, let me take this rock.
I'll step in and draw it again. Okay, it's an implementation issue. 006 is the action taken to take roughly $2 million out of the Consumer Protection Program, and this we have balanced this with the other reductions in merits and inflation that also affected this program. So these numbers are right. As an offset to that reduction, there's an increase of almost $1.7 million other funds that eats down the fund reserve or the balance of that fund, which will mean a greater roll-up cost probably in terms of general fund for 03-05. And as a result, in addition, there are three positions cut, three FTE cut from this program. When you net out the general fund cut and the backfill by the other funds, you're looking at roughly a 15 to 16% decrease in the program's, the ability of the program to respond to the consumer complaints and the such. And Mr. Chair, that's the civil enforcement division packages.
Taking motions on Mr. Chair, I move that we approve legislative fiscal office for the standard adjustments 1 through 5 under the Civil Enforcement Division.
Representative Butler moves LFO's recommendation regarding the standard adjustments 001 through 005. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
That's your
let's just skip over this. Okay. We're going to skip over LFO packet 006 at this point in time.
Mr. Chair, it's your timing, Diane. Okay. We'll need to come back to DPSST.
Yep.
Criminal Justice Division, again, the committee had worked this to a certain extent but left some issues out there. LFO would like to amend package 143. Again, this dealt with balancing out the vacant positions with policy option packages, and the result here is actually less federal funds and further decrease in the FTE, 0.31. You notice I have a spelling mistake in my LFO recommendation column. I apologize. LFO 006. It says recommendation at the table, but this was written late last week. As I mentioned, with the DPSST budget, there is still some discussions going on with CFAA revenues. The LFO recommendations and the recommendation for 006 also originally brought it to the May forecast levels. But there is $5 million of CFAA revenue in the overall public safety agreement over and above that, but the decisions have yet to be made by the co-chairs and with input from the subcommittee chair and other members on where that $5 million will be distributed. So this would be, like I said before, another potential area that money could be put back into. But the LFO recommendation would be to take the program levels at the May forecast, CFA forecast levels, which are slightly less than the governor's recommended budget levels.
Why don't we just go on to General Counsel Division?
Okay. Let me, 008, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Just a quick review on that. This budget, this takes care of the Tobacco Tax Compliance Task Force, $770,000 fund shift. That's going to be funded now with other funds. The general fund or the revenues for that will be taken to the Department of Revenue. They will contract with the State Police and Justice for those corresponding responsibilities. So what you're seeing here is taking $707,000 general fund and offsetting it with an increase in other funds. No net change.
Representative Butler.
Quick question for the Attorney General or for Legislative Council, the other funds, we anticipate that the current fines and success that we're having within the compliance task force, the tobacco tax compliance task force, that comes all to general funds, I understand. Is that correct? As we're in the process of litigating those folks that we're catching and prosecuting under the compliance.
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding they come in as other funds to the state, and then it's distributed out some to the general fund, some to specific programs like
that. Is that the source of the other funds?
The other funds will be the collections of the tobacco tax, and the Department of Revenue will take a very small percentage of those collections for this purpose, for the tobacco tax compliance.
That's not directed at the success of the compliance task force, though. That's not taking from the proceeds of the successful efforts of the tax.
It will eat into a small amount, but not the whole thing, of course.
Thank you.
The subcommittee had requested a budget note in this area to have them come back and talk sometime during the biennium. And talking to the Department of Revenue as well as the Department of Justice, there is language and the expectation for the Department of Revenue to come back and report with this, and I'm sure the Department of Justice will be part of that discussion on the tobacco tax compliance portion of that report. So I don't believe there's a budget note necessary for this budget because it will be covered in the Department of Revenue's expectations on reporting of alternative revenue sources.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I move policy option packages for the Criminal Justice Division, 143 as amended, and LFO 006 and policy option package 008 as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office.
Representative Butler moves the Criminal Justice Division, LFO recommendations, policy package is number 143, 006, and 008. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
General Counsel Division, Mr. Chairman of the Subcommittee, one item here and then one budget note. Actually, two budget notes. 006, and the Attorney General did mention this in his presentation before. House Bill 2041, which is the transportation funding initiative that has gone through the legislature here in recent months, will increase the workload for the Attorney General and the General Counsel Division. They had requested three attorneys. It is LFO's recommendation that authorize one attorney at this time, the resources for that position, and if the workload and demand for that does materialize, have them come back to the E-Board and request any other resources for those attorney positions. In talking to the LFO analyst for transportation, I could not get a good sense of the workload that could be expected, and I thought this was a better approach. I know there will be a workload increase, and I surely would, if the workload is there, support it during an E-Board in terms of the LFO recommendations to add any further resources necessary.
Representative Hansen.
Well, when several of us spoke to this bill on the floor, we said it'd create jobs, and we're already seeing it.
Is it surprising that the attorneys are the first ones?
Representative Hansen moves the policy auction packages 006 and the budget note. You want to do the budget note, sir?
Mr. Chair, the budget note, we had discussed about the impacts. The subcommittee had discussed the impacts of budget cuts and other factors on sort of the demand for services from state agencies. You instructed me to draft a budget note to have them come back and report at part of the way through the biennium on the demand for their services and how they're responding to that demand. This is not just the DOT. This is the larger demand from state agencies, and this budget note is a result of that.
You've heard the motion by Representative Hansen today on the General Counsel Division. Any questions for Doug? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I have one other budget note that was requested to be drafted. It wasn't part of the memo. It has just been walked into me for with co-chair approval. This deals with the contracting, the $75,000 limit. I believe I'm at least two of the members on the subcommittee had interest in this budget note. And the agency has seen this. It might result a little bit of it, but I don't think it's coming in any way.
This committee had some substantial discussion about this particular budget note, but it was difficult to get our arms around how to even look at this and the quality and quantity of the legal sufficiency review, whether that was the appropriate or inappropriate level. I think the Attorney General's had the flexibility to be able to do a lot of what needs to get done, but it would be nice to have some more detail on it in the next session. So, and at the emergency board.
Is legislative fiscal going to give us the basic tenets of this budget note number two, Mr. Chair?
Doug, you want to give the basic tenets? This is the $75,000
right,
legal sufficiency review that's required by statute, which has some carve-outs for the Attorney General to kind of waive boilerplate kind of language. I think the thrust and scope of this budget note is to get our arms around whether that $75,000 legal sufficiency review is what should be in statute or if there are other things that should be done in terms of streamlining the process for state agencies so that there is either more or less attorney time, depending on the type and quality of the contracts to be reviewed.
Thank you.
Move adoption.
Representative Hansen moves the adoption of the budget note that was recently expressed and brought to us by the Legislative Fiscal Office.
Mr. Attorney General, do you have any comment on the particular budget note?
Chair Patridge, only that we appreciate the subcommittee's willingness to permit this further examination of the working of the current structure, which we think is working well in terms of generating exemptions, as opposed to making an across-the-board change in that number, because I think a change in that base number will put outside legal sufficiency review some transactions that I think the Assembly would want reviewed. And I think we will be able to demonstrate that the current exemption process permits the kind of selective removal of types of transactions that you would find favor with.
You've heard the motion by Representative Hansen. Any further questions or discussion? If not, anyone object to the budget note? So we're Division of Child Support staff.
Mr. Chair, there had been no action taken on this budget, even though it had been discussed. Major issues, again, I'll quickly go through them. This budget reflects, and there's a policy package of the transfer of the program from DHS to DOJ. The statutory changes in House Bill 2340 have already been signed by the governor. That bill was pushed through at an accelerated rate to meet some federal deadlines. Overall, the transfer saved roughly $900,000, and that is part of the governor's recommended budget or governor's balanced budget already. And two bills have an effect, and you'll hear one here later today, House Bill 2095, on the budget. There are federal requirements, one dealing with Social Security numbers and driver's license. That has already passed out of Ways and Means, I believe, and out of your subcommittee, dear Senator George, and House Bill 2095 dealing with notification of health insurance coverage is on the agenda today. The policy package is here. 115 is an increase in FTE for two student workers to full-time. The net increase is 1.12 FTE. It is financed with federal funds, and we recommend approval of that policy package. Number 200 is the package. It's a large package. It is actually makes the transfer budgetarily from DHS to DOJ. What you see there is a significant decrease in other funds, but the general fund that is used to match federal funds, which is the primary source of revenue for this program, was increased by $11.5 million. So package 200 implements that transfer. It also transfers nine positions from DHS to DOJ. 201 takes care of a problem or an issue that has been out there, I think, for about three biennia. For some reason, these positions that dealt with welfare reform, which passed in the mid-1990s, have been limited duration in this budget. The workload continues. They've been approved as limited duration, but there is an ongoing need for these positions, so they are requesting permanent positions, and we also recommend the approval of that. They're in the budget for 0103. They were in for at least two previous biennia before that. Package 205 requests five positions for growing caseloads in this program. Our recommendation from LFO is to approve that, but instruct DAS to unschedule those funds and require the agency to come back to the e-board for them to see if the caseload materializes. LFO 01 through 05 are the standard merit, inflation, and other adjustments included in all the budgets. It has been corrected from the previous document that you saw to reflect it took one too many FTE in the vacancies. We had a vacant position that had no FTE attached to it, and I accidentally counted the FTE. 006, I discussed already, I asked the agency to reforecast their recoveries and other cost and program revenues in this program, and the outcome of that was a net savings of $545,000, and that's reflected in this budget as a decrease in general fund and an increase of other funds in the same amount. 007 is a technical adjustment just there to make sure that that these incentive payments are classified as other funds and not as federal funds as they are in the governor's balanced budget. There's no net change in the overall budget as a result of 007. 008 is the fiscal impact of House Bill 2095, which is on today's agenda. This bill requires child support orders to include health care coverage for the child if it exists. For example, if the parent that does not have custody has health insurance coverage for family members in their employment, that they do pick up the cost. There is savings in general fund and the health plan that brings the net cost of this package down to about $250,000 instead of the $350,000 general fund you see here. That reduction will be made in DHS budget. I talked to the analyst late last week about that. There is an increase in workload because there will be a lot of more notification of employers, checking records to see about health insurance, and a lot more mail costs initially for this, and that's the reason for the 7 positions and 6.5 FTE that are associated with the package. And, Mr. Chair, that is the child support issues and policy packages.
Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move telephone policy packages 150, 200, 201, 205, 001 through 005, 006, 007, and 008.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to confirm on policy option package 200, the general fund expenditure is 11.507.
That is right.
Okay, so I'm just off one line on each of those. Is that right?
Oops, you are right.
Okay.
I did not adjust those.
Thank you. Move question.
Representative Butler.
We'll just vote since there's no other discussion.
Now I'm going to have two votes. You've heard the motion by Senator Devlin regarding the Division of Child Support recommending the LFO policy packages. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, finally on page 8, two items. The first is to clear up some of the position adjustments that I had made in the vacant positions and some of the others. The agency came to me with some corrections, and I'm putting those forward again. There were some positions taken that with miscommunications between myself and the department. Again, for example, number 2, there was a position taken with no FTE, and I had included the FTE count in the vacant position. So it's cleaning that up to reflect what's actually available in all 3 cases.
Okay. Questions for Doug on these particular vacancy savings that we previously were? All right.
Mr. Chair, and then finally, we had gone through as a subcommittee most of the other funds ending balances. This operational reserve for charitable activities account, there was desire to come back and revisit this issue. Our recommendation still stands, even though there's a sizable ending balance. The revenue source for this this charitable activities account is can be rather variable. It's in part based on the size of charitable trusts, and with the stock market up and down and around and through as it has been, I think there's some real concern that that this is a sort of a very variable and very unsettled account, and we would recommend that you would not want to take some actions on changing that and suffering the program unduly.
Okay. Questions for Doug on this other fund's ending balance?
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding we do not take action other than just acknowledge the report by the Legislative Fiscal Office.
That's correct. I think at this point in time it doesn't appear that we have the votes to move this particular budget out of the committee, so I apologize for bringing you here today, Mr. Attorney General, but we will try and resolve those issues as quickly as we can.
Mr. Chair, could I ask for clarification? What is the expectation as far as the level of budget for continuing resolution?
That's what we're trying to get some clarification about now. Somebody, I believe Senator Dillon may have some information.
My discussion with Mr. Rocco was that the department receives a considerable allocation in general fund dollars
and that in the 30 days that the continuing resolution, they have some discretion in how they spend it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin,
Mr. Frills, what I'd like to do is ask you to go back. We're going to continue to work this. I'd ask you to go back to Alpha and talk with Mr. Rocco and maybe have Ken come let Doug and I know so we can continue to work the rest of these. Would that be appropriate?
That would be very helpful. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay. So we're going to open the work session on House Bill 5049 at this point in time, which is the DPSST. We have the Addendum 1. I believe this is based upon the May forecast.
Yes, it
dollars.
Is.
I believe that you have heard the recommendations already from the legislative fiscal officer. I think rather than go back through and try and approve these individually, what I'd like to do is just take a motion for the adopting the LFO recommendations for Addendum 1. Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of Addendum 1 of June 30, 2003, as explained to us by Legislative Fiscal Office, and amend House Bill 5049 to reflect those amendments, those changes, recommendations.
Just clarification, that includes all budget notes there.
Mr. Yes. Chair, it does. And just on page 4, we changed the date on that budget note from March 1st to September 1st.
And that was part of your LFO recommendations. And that should be reflected.
Yep.
Okay. You've heard the recommendations and clarifications of Legislative Fiscal Office in regard to this motion in regard to the adoption of Addendum 1 as briefly modified by LFO during the course of this hearing to House Bill 5049. Is there any, at this point in time, any questions? Any objections? Okay, seeing none, so ordered. The amendments are adopted, so I need a motion for House Bill 5049 as amended to the full committee.
Move House Bill 5049 to the full committee with due pass recommendation as amended.
Representative Butler moves House Bill 5049 as amended by this committee to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any questions? Concerns? So ordered.
Carriers.
Senator Devlin.
I will be back.
Representative Hansen. Carrying. Representative Hansel carrying full.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate being here. Sorry I was not here to hear the first part of you, but
here the next one item is House Bill 2095. We had taken action as a subcommittee on this. In the work session on the budget, the bill is before you. Let me get the handouts for that.
Okay. We're going to open the public hearing as a subcommittee. The subcommittee on House Bill 2095. Does the department want to come forward in regard to this bill? Cindy? Okay, then I was going to do it. You want to go ahead and proceed? Give us your, where you're at on House Bill 2059.
Sure, for the record.
5B.
Ronell Shankel, Department of Justice. And briefly, staff is handing out to you the complete testimony that I used in the Judiciary Committees on this bill. I will tell you very briefly what it does and, more importantly, why the fiscal is here before you today. As Doug mentioned, it is a bill that has to do with national medical support. It is a federal mandate to all of the states that our child support programs adopt this new legislation. It does make improvements to both the establishment of orders in Oregon. We currently take orders, including health insurance for children, but this will further broaden those provisions, and it also strengthens our enforcement remedies available when we are attempting to enforce these orders. I'm saying all this without going into detail, and assume you'll stop me if you want any detail. There were significant amendments done. We worked with the Judicial Department to make sure that the judges have the necessary discretion. We worked with Bureau of Labor and Industries and Associated Oregon Industries, Legal Aid, and many other partners to make sure this is the least impact as much as possible on all of those partners as we implement. You'll notice that there's an emergency clause requested on this bill. In order to be completely in compliance, we need to have this law up and running in Oregon in October of this year. We have people working behind the scenes on what that will look like should you pass this legislation. And if we were not to pass this legislation through, we would be subject to penalties. Our state plan would be considered out of compliance, and we could lose our federal funding, which for the child support program is about $85 million. The fiscal that Doug handed out to you today, I'll just say a couple of things about that. What it contains basically is part of the new federal mandate for the national medical support is that we will all of the states be using the same medical support notice. I believe it's a 10-page document. The good news is employers and health plan administrators will always see the same thing over and over state by state, but it does increase our postage, so there's some cost in there for the new forms that we must use. Additionally, you'll see some requests for staff. And that has to do with a couple of provisions. One is we anticipate that there will be many new questions we'll need to answer for employers in Oregon. And the second piece is many employers have multiple plans available that will qualify, and so we will have to go through some work with the family to determine which plan will be ordered and enforced. So that is a real high-level overview. I might add just one more piece, Chair Patridge, in that in 1997, that was the most significant legislation for the child support program in past years. It was welfare reform. At that point, we asked for 5 positions in the program, or at least the Department of Justice has not come forward and asked for any new positions since then. Today, we're here before you because we have reached capacity in implementing all of these great tools. We have done a lot of work, but we can't do anything more without some additional resources. If you choose not to give us the resources, there will be some other work that we'll simply have to stop doing in order to do this mandated enforcement.
Representative Butler.
Question relative to the 0103 general funds and other funds that have been used to support this program. We have a legislative fiscal analysis giving us the information relative to the 0305 and 0507. Do we know what the current resources look like in this program?
This is a new mandated piece.
That's correct, Chair Patridge and Representative Butler. This is a new mandated provision. So the current statute is actually being repealed and replaced with this new law and these new requirements.
Didn't we, though, have the obligation back as far back as 99?
We do, Chair Patridge and Representative Butler, we do currently have a federal and a statutory obligation to order health insurance, but it's not to the same level as this work, and it is blended into the program's basic establishment and enforcement tools.
Well, Chair, so that I understand, the additional general funds that we're talking about are truly that. These are the additional general funds that are new, that previously weren't, that were at zero, basically. So this is anticipating the utilization of the 0305 of additional net general funds of $232,340 and net federal funds of $381,090.
Chair Petridge, Representative Butler, I believe that is correct, yes.
That ties them together in the enforcement division that we just looked at over in the Department of Attorney.
Page six.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, what you approved in the Justice Department budget was just their share of it, and as I mentioned, the DHS budget will be reduced by the $122,216 general fund when that budget is heard down the hall.
Okay. Any further questions for Ms. Schenkel? For now, thank you. Why don't you remain for just a second? Any questions of Doug? All right. I'm going to leave the public hearing open on this particular piece, and why don't you go ahead and have a seat right now. Senator Devlin's not here, so what I'm going to do actually is I'm going to open the public hearing as the subcommittee in the work session on House Bill 2248. I don't want to work budgets without Senator Devlin here, so we're going to open the work session on House Bill 2248, which is item number 6 on the agenda. Thank you. The Fire Marshal is here to testify on House Bill 2248. Please proceed.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the subcommittee, for the record, I'm Robert Garrison, State Fire Marshal, and I'm here today in support of House Bill 2248 and the proposed Dash 3 amendments. The amendment would exempt plumbers and steam fitters from our propane licensing program. House Bill 2248 proposes fee increases for the liquefied petroleum gas program. It was introduced by the governor at the recommendation of the governor's Fire Service Policy Council. The Policy Council recommended that the programs within the Office of State Fire Marshal's License and Permits Unit become self-supporting rather than being subsidized by the fire insurance premium tax as they have been in the past. Historically, as I said, the LPG program has received fire insurance premium tax funding to supplement fees paid by the industry members because the fees were not adequate to totally fund the cost of the program. The bill was developed cooperatively with the propane industry to address service needs for the LPG program, and the industry assisted in drafting the bill language, helped set the fee increases, and approved a new fee for licensure examinations. I've attached two documents to the testimony. One gives you an indication of all of the partners that we've involved in the discussion. The other is a comparative chart that shows what's currently paid for by fees and what's subsidized by the fire insurance premium tax and what House Bill 2248 would allow us to shift away from the fire insurance premium tax to allow the program to be self-supporting. So with that, I would ask for your favorable consideration of this bill, and I would be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. Questions for Mr. Garrison? Senator George.
Does this fee already in place? I pulled into a station the other day, and the guy came up and said, I just got a bill for $150 for that propane tank out there. And so is this in place right now?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, there is a longstanding propane licensing program that's maintained at the Office of State Fire Marshal. We do license the tank installations. We do test fitters and handlers of propane. So there has been an existing fee basis, but it, as I said, has been insufficient to fund the cost of the program.
Is that fee currently, has that fee been increased? Because he was talking about an increase. Was he just not remembering that he paid it last year?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, to my knowledge, that is set in statute and cannot increase without approval from the legislature.
Lana Butterfield, do you want to come up?
Mr. Chair, I think I just remind Senator George that that much of this is 50 to 100 years of tradition unhampered by progress. So.
Got along with that before we met you.
Lana, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. I'm Lana Butterfield. I'm here representing the Northwest Propane Gas Association. We support House Bill 2248, and we have no objection to the Dash 3 amendments. Thank you.
Any questions for the industry? Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair,
I
understand that Representative Hansen is offering the A3 amendments for addition to House Bill 2248 as presently engrossed.
That is correct. We're going to open a work session here in a minute. Any other public testimony on House Bill 2248? Hearing and seeing none, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2248. Hey, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the A3, the Dash 3 amendment.
Chair, they should be in the packet in front of you. I passed out.
Representative Hansen moves the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2248A and Gross. Any questions? Representative Hansen? Any objections to the motion to put in the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2248A? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Hansen?
Good amendment, should pass.
All right.
Mr. Chair, move the full 2248 as be engrossed or with as amended with the dash A3 and to the full committee with detailed recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Butler moves House Bill 2248A as amended by this committee with the dash 3 amendments to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any other questions? Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Hansen will carry. in full and in the House. Senator Devlin?
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to go back and open a work session on House Bill 2095. Are you staying with me, Christine? Okay. House Bill 2095 is the child care or the health care coverage for child under child support order, which is item number 3 on our agenda today. We just heard the testimony of Ronell Chappell from the department. This bill doesn't have any amendments. We are in work session.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2095B be moved to the floor with due pass.
Representative Butler moves House Bill 2095B to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator George.
Just that in the summary of the letter that was presented to us, that this was intended to simplify the work, and it's a 10-page application.
That everybody feels that.
Sometimes progress is, some people's perspective on progress is different than some of ours.
More jobs created, right?
Thank you, Senator George. Any objections to House Bill 2095? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Carriers?
Carriers. I can carry in the House and the full. Carriers in the Senate.
You don't want to carry? Easy, I say that.
Senator Devlin. All right. We were in a work session on, and I'm going to reopen the work session on Senate Bill 5525, which is the Department of Justice. And I believe that we are going to go back to page number 3 of Addendum 1. Senator Devlin.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, move LFO recommendation 006.
Senator Devlin moves LFO recommendation number 006 to Senate Bill 5525. Any objections? Do you want to discuss the situation at all?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, that there was some concern about the plan substitution of funds in the Civil Division concerning consumer protection, about the long-term impacts of doing that. And there was some hope that there could have been use of some other funds. That seems like a distant thought right now. And because of concerns about not passing this budget out today and the impact it might have on other issues, I think the Attorney General and others felt it was best to pass it out today.
As the committee is well aware, I'm very supportive of this particular program. I would like to see it, if possible, have other funds or some more general fund support. I think it's a phenomenal program, and rest assured that the chair will do what he can to try and see what we can do, but we are in a very, very tight budget situation. But I recognize the importance of this particular division of Department of Justice, so I appreciate the motion in order to move things forward.
And, Mr. Chairman, the Attorney General has indicated also that he's hopeful that later in this budget process, even though it's going to be very difficult times, we might be able to examine this issue again.
I think this issue, DA assistance and the criminal division, have some looking at in this particular budget, as well as some other things the Attorney General has brought forward. So I certainly appreciate it at this particular point in time. Senator, you've heard the motion by Senator Devlin regarding policy package number 006 on page 3 of the addendum in reference to the Civil Enforcement Division. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. I think we've approved everything, Doug, if that's correct.
132 also.
What's that?
Do we need to approve policy package 132?
132. I think, I recommend this package not be approved.
Okay. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, move SB 5525 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Senator Devlin moves Senate Bill 5525 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as amended. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Carriers. Senator Devlin again.
I'm trying to catch up to the people.
All right. Anyone else in the House doesn't want to carry, otherwise I'm happy to carry. You want to carry?
No, I think you do. Okay, great job.
I'll carry.
Full committee.
Full in.
Okay. Just show up. That's all we ask.
I showed up late today, so I'll carry anything you guys want me to carry. I'm going to open the public hearing and work session on House Bill 5012, the Criminal Justice Commission. Mr. Lemon, do you want to come forward?
Chair, this is the one budget you have today that you have yet to see at all. Criminal Justice Commission, rather small agency with a large mission. Their largest program is the Juvenile Crime Prevention Grants, and you'll find out as we work through this that they have been cut substantially. Major issues, two basic functions of this agency. One is the administration of juvenile crime prevention grants, and the second is the coordination of criminal-related policy in the state, including they are the housekeepers of the sentencing guidelines and a number of other programs, smaller programs that they administer or coordinate. The governor's budget for this agency included a 25% or a $4.9 million reduction in juvenile crime prevention grants. There were staff and admin cuts relating to juvenile crime prevention to the tune of $165,000 of staff and S&S cuts. And a position relating to sentencing guidelines is also proposed to be cut in the governor's budget. There are also some cuts that are not rolled up that could have been, but it was a policy decision not to deal with law enforcement contacts funding. One thing that happened during the budget balancing or special session 6 toward the end of this biennium was that there was a proposal to reduce the juvenile crime prevention grants further for 0103. The alternative that was that took place was to use federal funds to the extent possible to offset those grant decreases that has taken place. The problem with that is that there are fewer federal grants available for 0305 than there would have been. So that is an issue. And finally, the subcommittee did do some discussion around the fact that some counties don't keep up in reporting their sentencing reports for sentencing guidelines purposes. And these are important reports in terms of tracking and administrating the sentencing guidelines process. There isn't really a stick for the agency to use, but it is a concern that a certain percentage of the states aren't part of the overall database in this area.
Does that improve at all, Phil, since we've had our hearing?
Mr. Chair, Phil Lemon, Director of the Commission. Yes, I've had discussions with all the counties. One county was unaware that they were not in compliance, and so they are actively working to get back. I've had calls with the presiding judge in another county who was willing to talk about it again and say that if that's what we need to do, then that's what we'll do. So, yes, we have made progress on that.
Great. Thanks.
I just say before we pass this budget out, I intend that this budget is probably going to come back. There are a couple other things that we'd like to do on some criminal justice policy and planning in the long term, but this, but they depended predominantly on other funds in the last eighth of the biennium, and so consequently we need to approve this budget to move them forward so they can continue to function.
Cut. Mr. Chair, the standard adjustments are on the top of page 2. In terms of vacancy savings, there were 5 unique positions in the vacant list. There were 2 of them were not funded in the 0305 budget, and discussions with the agency led me to believe that the other 3 are pretty crucial if the coordination of the public safety area is to continue, because this is a focal point for that coordination across the entire public safety arena. So it is not LFO's recommendation to take any of those positions. Moving on, in terms of the first unit being the Juvenile Crime Prevention Unit, this is where the general fund has traditionally been for the juvenile crime prevention grants. There are a number of packages here, starting on page 3. Package 101 is adjust funding for the rent and telecommunications to reflect the actual cost, in addition to the actual funding mix that needs to take place. General fund is increased, so federal funds are decreased, reflecting some changes in funding packages. There is our funding mixes, and there's also a corresponding package in the operations, the other budget unit in this budget. One reason for the rent is that they have moved to a new space in the past year. They were asked by DASC, or maybe a little stronger than asked, they were told to move by DAS since they were in DAS operated space, and in the process the rent has gone up a little bit, not very much. Package 102, it has a net decrease across the entire agency. There's an increase in this budget unit, a decrease in the other budget unit dealing with state government service charges, and this is an accounting move actually to balance the where the cost should be in the budget. This redistributes federal funds, the next package 104, between special payments and professional services. There's no net decrease anywhere in the budget. It's just moving from one spending category to another, which requires your approval to make sure the accounting system matches with the where the actual expenditures, or the budgeting matches where the actual expenditures are. The next set of packages, 01 through 05, are the standard adjustments that were described above. The 06 package is the reduction in juvenile crime prevention grants over and above what's in the governor's balanced budget. This reflects the overall public safety agreement. So it's a $5.9 million reduction over and above the $4.9 that was in the governor's budget. This takes it from roughly $18 million down to roughly $7 million. This represents about 40% of where the grants were 2 years ago. Like I said, this is part of the overall public safety budget agreement that's been out now for a couple weeks. Package 007 shifts the funding for a position from being mostly general fund to a split of 50-50 between federal and state funding, which is possible given that this agency receives a sizable amount of federal funds in addition to the general fund. It also increases the FTE on a support position by 0.5. One of the areas that has been severely cut is the support staff, and in doing that, some of the important data input around sentencing guidelines, keeping up with federal reports, so they can receive the federal funds in other areas, they have not been able to keep up, and so LFO is recommending increasing one of the positions from half-time to full-time. And we use some of that funding, the money generated from the funding shift on a position to pay for the cost of that. The net decrease there is a $5,700 decrease in general fund. I'll come back to the use of that funds, and an increase of $41,000 in terms of federal funds for this entire package. 008, this is a recommendation by LFO. There was reduction just because we are instructed to take the inflation adjustment out of the budget. I'm suggesting, given the sizable cut in the juvenile crime prevention, that all remaining money that was taken out from inflation be reinvested back into the grants, and that's just shy of $190,000. I believe that's it for the report. Yes, it is, for that particular budget unit.
Representative Feltman.
Mr. Chair, I move relative to the crime prevention, or juvenile crime prevention unit, LFO recommendations for policy option package 101, 102, 104, LFO 001 through 05, policy option package 006, 007, and 008 as recommended.
Thank you. Representative Butler moves the Juvenile Crime Prevention Unit policy packages as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office. Comments or questions on these? I just want to
comment.
Go ahead.
This is
this is one of those moves that I know we have to do because of budget constraints, but very definitely we're limiting a program that's been very successful.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. This is a devastating cut, I realize, to the juvenile crime prevention grants, but also we were able to help reinvest part of the money that, at least from my perspective, it was shifted to open up some OYA facility beds. In regard to this particular program, I think we've done a great job of tracking the data on this juvenile crime prevention better than most places in state government, so I'm hoping that, Phil, we can continue that as best we can into the future. I think it's important. So, any objections to the motion by Representative Butler? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Doug.
Mr. Chair, moving on to page 4, the next budget unit. This is, I've just entitled it Budget Unit, really Commission Operations, but it also includes all the coordination work or all the work of this agency other than juvenile crime prevention related actions. Package 101 is the flip side of the package that you saw already around rent and telecommunications. So this is an increase of just a little bit over $8,000 general fund and $5,500 federal funds. It also reflects a funding mix, so you see a small decrease of $149 other funds. Policy package 102 is the flip side of the other package that redistributes state government service charges between the two budget units. It was an increase of a little over $22,000 general fund in the juvenile crime prevention unit. It's a reduction here of general fund of over $24,000, so there is a net savings in this between the two budget units. 001 and 005 are the standard adjustments that have been described above, merit, inflation, AG costs and the whatnot for 001 through 5. And 006 increases by just under $30,000 resources to solve some funding issues for positions that came up during or since the governor's balanced budget has taken place. This was the Ms. Gilbert came forward with technical adjustments during the budget presentation, talking about this and other adjustments that were required. We worked late last week, the department, BAM and I, and came in with a solution to the problems that required less general fund than what was originally proposed, and this is part of that agreement. This will take care of the funding issues that they have for two positions that are currently underfunded significantly. Mr. Chair, those are the policy packages for commission operations.
You've heard the LFO recommendations regarding the commission operations. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Relative to the commission operations, I move policy options package 101, 102, LFO 001 through 05, and 006 as recommended.
You've heard the recommendation and the motion by Representative Butler regarding policy package number 001. 002, 001 through 005 and 006 in regard to commission operations. Any comments? Any objections? Seeing or hearing none. So we're Doug, performance measures, I believe that they're on the flip side of the page.
That is right. If you turn to the flip side of page 5, you heard actually a pretty long presentation by the consultants on performance measures, and I think the chair was right that they do a good job of tracking data on juvenile crime prevention, and that shows through in the performance measures. I don't recall that any member had any significant issues with the performance measures of this agency in the previous discussions in front of this committee or subcommittee. So it is our recommendation that your review should show that you agree with what's there and to move forward and measuring and continue to keep these in place. I will say, though, that the significant reduction in the juvenile crime prevention will have an effect on a couple of these performance measures. And there's not an easy way around that.
Okay. You've heard the LFO recommendation regarding performance measures. Any comments?
Mr. Chair, on performance measurements, it's my understanding that you do, in fact, move to acknowledge them. So at that
time, correct.
Make a motion. We acknowledge the performance measurements that we have reviewed them. They're to be satisfactory and appropriate and adequate.
Representative Butler moves that we acknowledge the performance measures. And they were what? Adequate?
Appropriate.
Timely. All right. Any objections to the acknowledgement of the performance measure? I know. I had to wipe a tear from my eye. All right. Hearing and seeing no objections, we've received the performance measures. Phil, Doug, you want to give a quick review on the other funds balance?
Sure. Chair, the only other fund balance here is dealing with the asset forfeiture program. This is actually a constitutionally required function that's been assigned to the Criminal Justice Commission. Revenues continue to fall off, and this does not represent a large operating reserve. In fact, they eat into it quite a bit during this biennium, so that the ending balance is only about $2,700 by the end of the biennium. Our recommendation is to take no action and continue to monitor this pretty closely.
All right, heard the explanation from Doug. We don't need to take a motion. Any questions on the ending fund balance? All right, Representative Butler.
House Bill 5012, the Criminal Justice Commission, to the full committee with due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Butler. Representative Butler moves House Bill 5012, as amended by this committee, to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none. So ordered. And like I said, I anticipate that we are going to bring this budget back. That's my hope. We're going to bring this budget back to committee to a couple of things in regard to planning.
Carriers.
Representative Hansen in full and in the House. Senator George. All right. Representative Hansen. Okay. Thank you, Phil.
His name already died.
I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 5045. The suave and good-looking gentleman from the Oregon State Police who are here. Well, I noticed the superintendent stood up.
Mr. Chair, it's my recollection that we got through page 6 in our June 26 meeting.
I believe that we did. I think we had to go back on. Did we have to go back on any of these, Doug? We got forensics. The medical examiner's office, I think we need to go back to. I didn't. I'm in my briefcase upstairs. I need to go back to my
Mr. Chair, you had worked through
up to the human resources.
You had worked through, I believe, the human resources portion of this budget, and need to start on page 7 on criminal justice services. Mr. Chair, LFO is recommending on page 7 a budget note for criminal justice services and other portions of the state police to come. Homeland Security funding and other issues continue to be a major item, and it's our recommendation to have them come back and report to the E-Board, having the state police take the lead on the receipt and distribution of federal Homeland Security funding, even between the time the governor's budget was put together and the present time, another $22 million have become available. And I think it's important that the members of the legislature continue to be in the loop around the use of those funds. So that is the budget note recommendation there on the top of page 7. And then the single, you had already worked this budget, but there is, I'm sure I'm right, there's one amending policy package 006 you had already approved a $22 million increase in the federal funds expenditure limitation for new Homeland Security funding. At the time, the department and I said that you would likely have to come back and talk about staff. They were still working on the staffing requirements. And so given the staff distribution, they're asking a total of five positions to administer this new $22 million, two in the Criminal Justice Services Division to deal with the fiscal reporting and the federal reporting requirements, and three program-related positions in Office of Emergency Management when you get to that point in the work session a little later. So the combination of all those actions decreases the need for expenditure limitation from $22 million to $21.6 million here and establishes two positions and two FTE for the Criminal Justice Services Commission, or not Commission, Services Division, excuse me.
You've heard the LFO recommendation regarding the June 25th memo surrounding House Bill 5045, Addendum 1. Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I just had a question of Legislative Fiscal Office relative to two positions to administer grants to meet the federal reporting requirements. What kinds of positions are those? Those grant writers or those accountant specialists? Or?
I believe, Mr. Chair, they're accounting techs, if I'm not mistaken.
So they are account tech?
They're accounting. They're not full accountants, but the accounting technicians.
Would you like further explanation from the department?
No, I just wanted to confirm that that's what those were, if in fact they are. With that, Mr. Chair, I would move the policy option package 06 as amended for the Criminal Justice Services.
And the budget note?
And as well as the budget note as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office to return this report on Homeland Security by September 1st, 2004.
You've heard the motion by Representative Butler regarding the Criminal Justice Services. Page 7 of our memorandum regarding the budget note, as well as amending policy option package number 006, which this committee previously approved. Any questions or discussion around this? Hearing and seeing none, are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Doug.
The chair on page 8 is the Office of Information Management. After all the transfers taking effect, this eight part of the agency was hit quite hard with the budget cuts. I think close to 40% of its resources were cut out because of House Bill 5100 and other reductions, just as many other areas of the department was significantly reduced. And the three new policy package addresses some of the problems that we're facing this area. 009 restores five of the identification services positions of the 14 general fund positions lost during the special sessions. This will help keep backlogs down. They have started to develop in some of the checking of fingerprints and other services by the identification services area, and this will take care of at least partially attacking those backlogs and preventing them in the future. Funding for this is part of the $3 million in the overall public safety agreement, cost of $303,000. 010 restores three positions to the LEDS program. These are the positions relating to the uniform crime reporting, which is a function that is required to receive federal funds by the federal government. This was an area of concern, significant concern by certain members of the subcommittee. At least for 2003-05, other fund revenues have been found by combination of burn grants that the department administers, as well as some state matching funds through OHSU. So that is an increase of $480,000, other fund limitations, which will provide the resources for three positions, three FTE, and the necessary SNS that goes along with them. Without restoring these positions, you could be at risk of losing significant amounts of federal funds, I think not only in this agency, but in other agencies and state government. 011 restores three information systems positions. This is sort of related to restoring some of those crucial business service functions. Again, this is an area that got cut significantly during the budget cuts, and while this does not come anywhere close to restoring the all of the positions. It restores three of the positions. Two would be technical support positions, and another position would be assistance analysts. And these are folks that provide support across the entire department in information systems. Funding for these three positions are part of that $3 million and other savings that occur, including sort of the rent switch on fund or funding source switch on rent for fish and wildlife from general fund to other funds. Mr. Chair, that is the Office of Information Management.
Representative Hansen moves policy option packets number 009, 010, and 011 regarding the Office of Information Management for the State Police. He shook his head.
Good. Mr. Chair, you broke all the string because at this point, Representative Butler had moved everything in this budget.
We want to withdraw your motion so Representative Butler can.
Oh, we're still keeping it.
All right.
Senator Devlin had his hand up, so.
No,
any other questions regarding?
I think he thought it was time to carry the bill.
Oh, okay. We'll make sure that happens at the end. He's almost as red as Senator George's cup.
I had a vicious comment, but I'll keep it to myself.
All right. I'm glad the state police are here to separate you two. All right. Any other comments? All right. Hearing any objections to the Office of Information Management LFO recommendation?
I concur with the Representative Hansen's motion.
All right. Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, the next our next division is the Office of Emergency Management, and actually you have not taken any action on this or the State Fire Marshal. So the major issues here, of course, are the use of the 911 funds, and I'm sure there will be some discussion around here and another bill regarding that. And as another issue, so you know that the former governor proposed creating this unit as a separate state agency. There was an executive order to that, but the present governor decided to keep this within the boundaries of the state police, and so that is how it's moving forward at this time in the governor's balance budget. Policy package 151 creates a position. It's a 911 related position to help with mapping for phase two. They use geographic information system information to locate where folks are with their cellular phones in phase two when that is implemented in this position. This is a package that creates this position. We recommend approval of this package, but it's subject to whatever ends up as in the 911 discussions. Package 154, originally this package had actually been created to provide quite a bit of new staff to create a new separate state agency, and in the final stages of the governor's balanced budget preparation, this package was scaled back considerably, and it takes care of some reclass issues within this office, and the cost of this from internal funds are $12,804 before this position had created a new agency director and fiscal staff and other things that are not needed at this time. Going on to the next page.
Representative Butler has a question about plot tax number 154.
Yeah, the Department of Administrative Services, Human Resource Services Division, approved those reclasses.
Mr. Chair, Bill McGee from DAS, yes, they did.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, 155 is adjusting the limitation for 911 spending to be based on actual revenues. The governor's balanced budget suggests or recommends a level of $6 million increase. The LFO recommendation is to increase it by a little bit more of that, reflecting the new forecast by legislative revenue that brings in revenues of $68 million. The expenditure limitation proposed here would increase it to the amount that contemplates discussions that the subcommittee chair has had in terms of distribution and allocating some funds to the poison center. So this would be an increase in addition to what's in the governor's balanced budget include of a almost $7 million increase instead of $6 million increase, and that will bring the expenditures into line with what is required under some of the discussions that have taken place. Again, we recommend approval of this, but that, of course, is subject to change on whatever happens to the 911 revenues or spending. LFO 001 to 005 are the standard reductions outlined, which we have already outlined for you in terms of merits, inflation, vacancy savings. 006 fixes some technical issues in the governor's budget after it was completed. Overall, I remember stating this before, we saw some major increases in some divisions, but overall there was actually a net decrease. I can't remember the exact sum, but over $100,000 in general fund need because of these technical adjustments. For this agency, or for this division, you see an increase of almost $48,000 general fund. And finally, 007 establishes three positions relating to the Homeland Security. This is related to the package in the Criminal Justice Services Division of the $22 million. These would be three program positions, a training position, a position that would provide support and coordination around exercises, Homeland Security-related exercises across the state, and another position to assist local governments with technical assistance and other factors. These are the program positions. The positions you already approved are the fiscal and reporting positions. So these would be program technician, I believe program tech positions, while the others were more fiscal oriented. Mr. Chair, those are the policy packages for the Office of Emergency Management.
Question for Legislative Fiscal.
Representative Butler.
Do you have a breakdown then of the distribution of the 911 related resources?
Mr. Chair, I have the chair here a handout actually.
Okay.
I think the chair's preference in this particular budget area is until we can resolve some of these issues surrounding the 911, those monies will be there. We're going to figure out how those get distributed based upon what goes on. So the chair would like to make the motion to approve policy action packages 151 and 154. Skip over policy option package 155 at this particular point in time, and we can add that back at some other point in the budget to expect the money that's coming in. LFO recommendations 101 through 105, 106, and 007. We're trying to work out the overall budget in relation to policy option package 155. My intent would be to move that the budget out of committee at least at this point in time so state police can continue to function, and then we would resolve the issues surrounding policy package 155.
151 doesn't have any 911.
I think the phase two wireless piece is fine, the 151 is
fine. Okay,
I'm going to object to that button. I don't think anyone would object to that part.
Mr. Chair, if I understand what you said, then would you want to keep the pass the budget out today, but keep 155 of the governor's balanced budget amount, understanding that it will likely be altered as the
if
further
it
discussions.
Will be altered in regarding the further discussion.
Okay.
Discussion. You okay with that, Chair?
Yeah, I would just like to make sure that we understand that that will be. My agreement to go along with this assumes that there will be nothing other than what's happened in the past relative to 911.
And this will be, and if we have that opportunity, it will either A, go back in as this 155 in another package, or we will pass out a separate bill. But until that gets resolved, I'd like to leave 155 on the table.
Okay.
Representative Hansen.
Yeah, I'm fine with that approach. But question, and this is a little bit far afield.
Okay.
But the funding for the Poison Control Center, that I think that's part of the OHSU budget currently, will that go forward in the continuing resolution, or is the Poison Control Center in operation in the next year?
I believe that they have moved it forward. The subcommittee chair has sent a letter to Oregon Health Sciences University and has some tacit agreement through other people to at least maintain the Poison Control Center until the state can wrestle with that particular issue. And so that's why I want to, that's why I prefer to leave this. We've got general funds, we've got these funds, we've got other things, so we need to work out where we're gonna land. I just don't want that to go away.
Publicly announced, or just yes, publicly announced that they are going to fund that out of their own resources and the continuing resolution for the next 1 month.
Mm-hmm. That was my understanding of what they were going to do, but I've been out of the building today. But I sent that letter Friday. So. All right. Is everyone okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
The only problem with that approach is we seem to do a lot better in terms of making progress when we're within 24 hours of the deadline.
Uh-huh. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I'm okay with that recommendation. I just did want to get one item on the record. We have prepared a potential budget note having to do with the Oregon Public Broadcasting Network and the state's emergency alert system, since we're defunding OPB in the state budget, and at the same time, OPB is one of the principal providers of that network, and there were some concerns about them being able to continue that and reporting back to the e-board. I just wanted to voice that a budget note had been prepared, but the co-chair did not approve the budget note, so it's not included in this recommendation.
All right. You've heard Senator Devlin, and I'm not sure where that's at. This may get held in between sub and full for some period of time, resolving that and other issues, but we need to get the state police off, keep the state police on the road. I won't say how many state police officers I passed, nor what speed I was going when I passed them on the way up here from Medford. And I won't tell you what time I left. I'll leave that confidentially with Mr. Wilson. But,
Mr. Chairman, we will check your logbook, though, to make sure that the time is better.
You probably shouldn't do that. With that, I'll take my own advice and consult with my attorney before talking.
Just check your cell phone locations as you go up.
Or the recorder on your car.
He was moving in and out of those cells and fast.
It was kind of a blur, I think. Okay, you've heard my motion in regards to the Office of Emergency Management and adopting policy option packages 151, 154, LFO packages 001 through 007. Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Doug Farmer.
Mr. Chair, this is the last division. Major issues. This budget has not been worked by the subcommittee to this point. There was some discussion, but major issues include that the major funding source for this unit, the fire insurance premium tax, was experienced significant shortfall. But with the passage of House Bill 3051, it has provided the revenues required to meet what's in the governor's budget, and actually then some. There was some discussion by subcommittee members about the role the state fire marshal plays when the local fire marshal is present. I just raised that as an issue that there was some discussion about that. Package 140, there were two fee bills associated with this for a total of $187,000. You passed 2248 out here a few minutes ago. 2249 has not been assigned by the co-chairs. It dealt with an increased fee on facilities licensed by the Department of Human Services, senior housing type of facilities, and I don't think there was a great deal of support for that bill. But there are sufficient fire insurance premium tax revenues off, or the new revenues off House Bill 3051 to provide the difference between what House Bill 2249 would have brought in. So that's why LFO's recommendation is the same amount for this package. Package 141, the governor's budget restores 6 to 12 fire insurance premium tax positions that were cut out of the budget during building of the budget in the governor's process and before. The funding source for those positions in the governor's balanced budget had not been identified at that point, but the result of all those deliberations is House Bill 3051. And in fact, the revenue forecast for House Bill 3051 shows that there's over $900,000 extra in revenue and that is why LFO's recommendation is not for 6 of the 12 positions, but 9 of the 12 positions. These are deputy fire marshals, to the most part, that can be used off this funding source. And given the fire seasons of last couple years and what may be happening in the future, and the workload that these deputy fire marshals have, it's our recommendation to restore 9 of the positions instead of just 6 of the positions that were included in the governor's budget. And that would be for an additional about $400,000 or about $300,000 additional over and above the governor's balanced budget amounts. Package 142 provides additional funding for the hazardous materials program. There's sufficient funding in this amount for this. This formally adds a Salem-based hazmat team, buys new equipment, new funding for hazmat teams across the entire state, and also reclasses 5 positions in the program, which I believe, Bill, have been also approved by DAS, human or personnel. And so LFO is recommending this package also at the same amount as in the governor's balanced budget. 001 through 005, the standard adjustments, merit, inflation, vacancy, HE, and DAS assessments. And 006 fixes some technical issues that were found after the governor's budget was completed. And there's been an agreement between the parties, DAS, LFO, and the agency on these technical adjustments. Mr. Chair, that is the LFO recommendations.
Questions? Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, relative to the State Fire Marshal, I move the policy option packages 140, 141, 142, LFO 01 through 5 and 6, as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office.
You've heard the recommendation. You've heard the motion by Representative Butler to recommend LFO policy option packages 140, 141, 142, and 001 through 006. Any questions? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, the budget bill, which you probably don't have in front of you, has 3 categories: state police activities and operations, debt service, and state fire marshal. The current bill for 0103 has many more breakdowns than that. LFO has heard from members, mostly interested in fish and wildlife issues, that they would they are requesting us making sure that that's a separate budget or appropriation line and budget line in the bill. And LFO is recommending this breakdown that for the budget bill. I forgot to add debt service. There'd also be another bullet for debt service there, of course. But so that when combining the budget units into appropriation expenditure limitation lines, there'd be one for patrol, criminal and gaming, one for fish and wildlife, one for forensics and medical examiner, one for sort of the infrastructure of the department, the human resources and Office of Information Management, one for the state fire marshal, one for the Office of Emergency Management and Criminal Justice. That should be Services Division, I apologize, not Commission. And one separate for debt service.
Mr. Chair, I've got a question.
Representative Butler.
Legislative Fiscal Office breaks down the last item in their bullet right there, Office of Emergency Management and Criminal Justice Services Division. When the immediate past governor asked that the emergency management be broken out as a separate department, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be more appropriate to have that as a separate line item and then the Criminal Justice Services Division as a separate line item.
Mr. Chair, that would be fine. Or the alternative, in the 0103 budget, the Criminal Justice Services Division is also included with the Human Resources and Office of Information Management. You could combine it with that one also.
That may be the more appropriate thing to do at that point. So I guess I'd just like to see the Office of Emergency Management broken out as a separate budget line item. Okay. We can start to track that separately.
You want to make that into a motion?
I would make that into a motion relative to the construction of the budget bill, Mr. Chair, that Office of Emergency Management have a separate line item.
Okay. don't we do a comprehensive motion, Representative Butler, if you're willing to do that, to
Mr. Chair, amend
those all as I break up?
I would make that a comprehensive motion that we go ahead with the LFO recommendations of dividing that budget into the groupings as listed for the, let's see, appears to be 2, 4, 6, and then the breakout of Office of Emergency Management and the Criminal Justice Services Division with the Office of Information Management.
Okay.
And then the debt service.
Representative Butler has made the motion that that LFO break the budget into the following groupings: patrol, criminal, and gaming as one, fish and wildlife as another, the forensics and medical examiners another, human resources, Office of Information Management, and Criminal Justice Services Division as another line item, the State Fire Marshal as a separate line item, the Office of Emergency Management as a separate line item, and debt service as a separate line item. Department, want to make any comments on that?
Chair, no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Superintendent. Any objections to the motion by Representative Butler? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, before you move off sort of the budget budget items, there is one area that is not addressed in here, and that is the 0103 expenditures. The department unfortunately thought they had sold the plane at this time, has not been sold, so it does create a hole in the 0103 budget. In addition, there are some unfunded fire costs for one of the fires, and I think we've mentioned that in the subcommittee before, and it would be LFO's intention to deal with that at a later date, seeing what happens with the plane sale. I think there was someone else looking at it late last week. I'm not sure what came out of those discussions. I haven't had a chance to talk to the department or DAS about that. So just to make mention that you could be returning to an 0103 issue here and trying to fix it some way.
Chair, it's my understanding that we moved back to an 0103 comprehensive final balance as a small adjustment, well, as an adjustment package eventually anyway, and that could be accommodated, that the failure to sale of that last airplane in that budget, is my understanding.
Mr. McGee.
Mr. Chair, Bill McGee from DES. We expect at this point the department has a very, probably will balance within available resources. They're doing a very good and aggressive job of maintaining that. We probably won't have a final accounting until they come in to the emergency board as a cleanup, perhaps as late as November. The biennium stays open from an accounting standpoint until December. There is a chance at that point we may have a general fund issue. We hope not to, and we're trying not to, but just to let you know that if that happens, it is not a management problem. It's just some things would have broken against us at the very end of the biennium.
We don't need to do anything on the approval there. I think we've done the ending fund balances.
Actually,
did we do them before?
You had not gone through that or the performance measures.
Okay.
Again, and I forgot to attach them this time. I apologize. I can do that quickly if you'd like. But generally, you view these performance measures as, let's see, what is it, appropriate and measurable, and I can't remember the poetry. But anyways,
I don't want to weep again.
Okay, you had a positive view of their performance measures and did not suggest any changes to them.
Representative Butler moved the adoption of the performance, of the acknowledgement of the performance measures. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
In terms of the ending balances, they're listed here. There were a number of them here. There were a number of sort of salary increase-related balances that were listed on the sheet that had been prepared by DAS and presented to the legislature for their discussion of the department. They really don't exist. and so there's no action recommended there because there would be no ending balance. Various sales of equipment-related funds, excuse me, there had been some, and it is no action, but LFO has considered these in sort of judging the amount of available funds for capital outlay. And there may be, as they sell equipment, they have the chance to come back during rebalances to, if they have some major sales, to use that for further purchase of equipment. This budget still, even though the subcommittee has added back resources, is real shy of capital outlay resources. ballot measure 66 funding for the Oregon plan related activities. Again, no action recommended. They really only have limited flexibility in their use because they are related to ballot measure 66, and they use many of these funds already in their 0305 budget, as you can see between the beginning and ending balances. Operational reserve for the 911. We have updated numbers to this, but again, this is one of those items that still have, I would guess, some discussion to happen on what happens here. The Boxing Wrestling Commission operational reserves. Right now, the funding mix has changed considerably for that agency, but really no action recommended here on the whopping $304 that are listed here. Operational reserve for fire insurance premium tax, no action at this time. This is still a very unstable revenue source on the most part, and would hate to use that given the what has happened over the past few years with that. This could grow in maybe, but then it would be better to deal with 0305 as a funding source. Hazmat program, the budget you just approved uses some of that funding balance. This requires a statutory change, and the ending balance of this program is falling during the 0305 budget, as you can see. So the no action is recommended there. Going to page 14. The petroleum load fee, this is really an area where there is a large operational reserve. It exceeds 24 months, but it does take a constitutional change to alter the use of these funds, as I understand it. And the agency is having discussions with the industry around this program to see about either lowering fees or what would be the best approach. So they are taking their own initiative on this. And finally, there's an operational reserve for the card lock program. As you see, that this is significantly falling off there. I don't completely understand the ownership patterns of card lock programs, but this revenue source has decreased significantly. In fact, even though you did not take actions on it during the budget building program or process, I believe it was three positions were cut out of this program out of a total of, I believe, six in this regulatory program. So there's no action recommended here. The ending balance is falling, and it represents less than 2 months of the operating reserve for this program. Mr. Chair, that is the total of the discussion.
Any questions in regard to the operational reserve?
Mr. Chair, we don't take any action on that. We just acknowledge that is my understanding.
Chair acknowledges to receive the information regarding the operational reserve.
Mr. Chair, on the gaming, there had been a request for some information regarding that. I had gone back and pulled the responses from the question that dealt with, I think, a position that is required for being present when mail is being opened at the lottery, and also the costs of vendor checks. And these are the responses by the agency to those questions that they provided earlier. Just for your information. Mr. Chair, I believe that is what is required on the state police budget, other than the 911, which is my understanding that you would like to keep it at least as a working budget at the level of the governor's balanced budget at this time.
That's correct.
Chair, if I can just state one thing relative to some of the locations in meeting with Superintendent Rucker, one of the things that came out was that they certainly feel that level and intensity of the training for those officers who are assigned outside of
the normal duty stations that may be assigned to places like the mailroom and the Oregon Lottery and those kinds of places. They have to maintain their standard skills, but all of their specialized training are along the lines that deal with their responsibilities in gaming and enforcement. So I feel that there is certainly a level of training which is commensurate with their assigned activities while they're assigned there, and not all officers in other divisions are assigned the same kinds of training. That was of concern to me that number one, that they were maintaining their basic skills, but so that they could be reassigned in case of emergencies most anywhere, that the state policemen could be used in places of emergency, but also that their skills and their levels of skills were in those areas where they were basically assigned by special duty. And that was of concern. It still doesn't address the level that Oregon State Lottery Commission, of exactly what it is that they need, but certainly these are well-trained individuals that are assigned to those positions.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, one other item that I forgot to mention, there is, and I would hope that you would give us leeway if there is a couple technical adjustments that need to be required that I forgot to put in to bring today. They are a matter of only a few $1,000s, and that gas and the department would likely to have, and if you could have a conceptual agreement on the committee to make those changes, we will make those changes in the budget.
Do we know more specifically, Doug, which departments they need?
Mr. McGee, I don't have them in front of me, so.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, let's see. In the Human Resources Division, in your Addendum 1, LFO Recommendation 006 shows a net reduction of $2,016 general fund. While I don't believe I brought the detail with me today, the difference is that $2,016 needs to be partially put into the training division and the rest in the human resources division. So we're just breaking that reduction in two different divisions.
Okay.
Just a question of where the error occurred, so where we need to fix it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Any other ones that you're aware of?
I think that's it.
Chair, take a motion regarding LFO tax number 006 in regards Human Resources Division for LFO to make the technical adjustments necessary to.
Mr. Chair, we have previously approved and then amended, and this re-amendment would be appropriate to request approval by the subcommittee.
You've heard the Representative Butler's request to re-amend Policy Packet 006 in regard to the Human Resources Division. Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so we'll move to the catch bill. Senator Devlin. I'm going to acknowledge Representative Butler when we're ready, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 5045 be amended and passed with a due pass recommendation, the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Butler, move House Bill 5045 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Senator Dowell.
And that's giving LFO purpose.
That is correct. We approve that amendment. I just want to say before we send this budget out, I wish we could do more in the patrol division, especially the state police budget. And I certainly appreciate the department's working with us. I also have substantial concerns with the upcoming fire season that, like this biennium, it appears that state police may be forced to shoulder part of the burden in the rest of their divisions for the fact that the federal government did not come up with the money. I'd like it reflected that, at least it's my feeling, and I hope the rest of the committee's feeling, unless there's an objection, that the state police should not be forced to shoulder the cost of fires when they don't receive payment or other things by the federal government. I think that is appropriate, and especially in light of the times we're in. We have young men and women throughout the state of Oregon who have been laid off back and forth like a yo-yo, unfortunately.
which I don't believe is good as their employer for the state of Oregon. And it puts the superintendent in a very difficult and sometimes embarrassing position, I believe, when we're not able to provide him adequate direction and funding. And part of that has resulted as a result of this, the fire monies that haven't been received by the federal government and other things. We've had to scrimp and save to close that hole. I'd hope if that issue comes up next biennium that we could have an opportunity to fix that, and I'd like the budget report to reflect that particular piece. I think it's critically important. And then just a question from me to the superintendent. I'm just wondering, with this budget going out, what's your plan to start bringing the young men and women who are still available, who haven't gone off to other jurisdictions, back? We all get those questions.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. First of all, if I may, I'd really like to thank each member of the committee for your availability to us and your responsiveness to our concerns and your support of the agency. It's truly been an interesting session, and we're a very, very diverse organization, as you know, and speaking on behalf of all the rest of my staff, to a person, they have appreciated working with you, as do I. We are in the process now of recalling about 35 sworn officers. That began last week, actually, and continues now. This is a result of some of the layoffs that we suffered on the sworn side and on the professional side, I might add, were as a result of the failure of, well, House Bill 5100, its passage and the failure of Measure 28, and then the revenue shortfalls from 0103. So now that we believe, as Mr. McGee reported, that we anticipate balancing for 0103, we're in a position now, having realized the savings we needed through those vacancies, to now bring those people back to work, and that's what we're beginning the process of. We also will continue to sort of scrub the numbers of our positions, both on the professional side and the sworn side, once this budget moves, to determine, with the number of continuing number of retirements and so on, how many more people can we bring back to work, so that we have every funded position that we have filled with a person. But we're not quite there yet, because we're not at that point in the process, but we expect to do that and expect, hopefully, to be able to bring back a few more people. Anything that happens beyond that will be the result of other activities, identification of other revenues, dedicated funds, whatever. But we make progress there, and we have people actually that have left, gone to work for other jurisdictions, but whom are coming back again. And we appreciate their loyalty, and it's a bit difficult for the whole public safety community, I might add, because if you're a local jurisdiction and you hired that person and now they're quitting again, it's been difficult for everyone. But we have people coming back to work for the state police, and we hope to continue to be able to provide them the type of an employment environment that is reciprocal of their dedication to us, that we can provide them with the stability of employment and the security of having a job in exchange for the risks and the efforts that they undertake. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, one item of comment, one item of question. Certainly, if there are additional costs and encumbrances on the OSP during the fire season, we recognize that the superintendent can ask his staff to come back to the emergency board for some of those issues if we're called upon above and beyond the normal call of duty. But I would like to just have some feel for the number of those officers who were laid off that have either left the state or left other agencies, who will not be returning, and an estimated cost to the state of and that in terms of number of people and the training costs which the state has borne, which we will now have lost.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, surprisingly, we've only got about probably 10 or fewer that have left that will not come back, that we know about today. Now, as we continue to try to recall more, we may identify more who say, thanks, but I'm not coming back. But to date, that's a pretty small number, smaller than I would have expected. For each one that we train that doesn't come back, and to the extent they leave the state, and thus no one in the state of Oregon is benefiting from their training. We think that number is about $50,000 a person to recruit, hire, and give them their basic training, and the number can go up from there, obviously would go up from there, depending on if we had a person with a year or two in the job and their training includes the on-the-job training that they acquire by way of experience, that it gets higher than that. But it's at least $50,000 a person.
And Mr. Griffiths, follow-up. Representative Butler. Of the 10 who will not come back, have they accepted positions? Do we know how many have accepted positions outside the state of Oregon?
Mr. Chair, Representative Butler, I can list a few. I don't have an exact number. Some have. There are a number who have gone to work, for example, in Vancouver, Washington Police Department. One I can recall went to the state of Idaho, Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. Thank you. There may be a few more than that.
Might be half a dozen then.
It's possible, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Is it fair to say, though, Mr. Superintendent, that had we not had potentially the PERS crunch and the other issues regarding retirement, that number would be significantly higher than 10?
Mr. Chair, I would expect that's accurate.
Thank you. Representative Hanson.
Well, I'd also think as you're bringing people back, as you're bringing back the lowest seniority people, that number might jump a little bit. If somebody's invested with more time in the agency and is part of the first groups that are called back, I would think it'd be more likely that they'd come back.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, I believe that's right. The longer a person has been with us or with anyone, the more they are rooted in a community someplace. And we have people, most of the people are they just like the particular style of policing that being a state trooper affords them the opportunity to do. And some of them have hung out a long time, you know, hoping to get to come back. There are others, if you're the last person on you're the most junior on the list, you've probably been spending the last 5 months realizing the statistical improbability of getting a job back compared to the most senior person that's been on the list. But I think that's an accurate assessment, and I think we'll see a few more the farther we go down the list, and in particular, the longer it takes. We testified here last week that based on what we know now, it would probably take us until April of next year, approximately, to get to the last person on the seniority list in terms of offering them a job. That would represent maybe a period of 14 months or so that the person's been laid off or out of work. And the longer that goes, I think, from a practical reality, the more likely it is the person might not be able to come back.
Thank you, Mr. Superintendent. Any other questions for the agency? You've heard the motion by Representative Butler to move House or Senate Bill 5045 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carriers. Senator Devlin. Representative Butler. Representative Butler, carriers. Fulton. With that, gentlemen, we have completed every budget out of the Public Safety Subcommittee.
I'm going to get to work.
Are we the first one done with every budget out of our subcommittee?
I think so. We have in general government we do have the e-board and a few others that but the governor's budget was the last major budget.
Mr. Chair, I know there's maybe a few more bills. I know there's a fee bill that I need to talk to you about, and you also have a 911 bill, so there are still some things hanging out.
I know there are criminal justice bills. I think the committee has been made apprised of all the bills that are down in Ways and Means. Please contact Doug or I to make sure that we aren't going to have if there's something you want to have heard that's down here, that we get that particular bill at least heard and potentially funded or figure out a way to fund some of these potential bills. There's a lot of bills that have big costs that I won't mind having a hearing on, but there's some that have little costs that we may want to, we may be able to do in light of where we're at. So with that, Representative Hanson.
Just an editorial comment. You know, somebody drives from Medford to Salem in less than 3 hours, and then says they really wish they could have put more patrol people back on I.
In Eastern Oregon.
Suggest a lack of sincerity or something.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Touche. All right. With that, we're adjourned.